Book of Ephesians. Amen. We're instructed here in the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, about how God has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And these pastors, teachers, and evangelists are called of God. They're not, I mean, you may hear of churches that elect their pastors, and you may know of many people that don't have a lot of respect for a pastor or evangelist or teacher. And a lot of folks don't have an understanding that God is the one who calls these positions for His service. And if you're a pastor or an evangelist or any of these things without the call of God in your life, you're messing yourself up and messing up those that may be hearing you. That's why I suppose there are so many people today studying to become preachers, and they're preaching a lot of false things that are not of God. But if you're called of God, you'll want to represent His truth, His Word. And in doing so, we can all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, and I'm in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I think we've all experienced some of that. You know, there's always somebody out there who wants you to listen to another viewpoint or see it another way, or maybe give in a little bit and back off of the way you are to their satisfaction. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and to the edifying of itself in love. You notice this word edifying is used quite a bit here. There's something about God wants us to edify. Amen. Now, the ministers are not the only ones called. Even if you're not a preacher and if you're serving God, you're called to serve Him. Everybody can be seated. You're called to serve Him. And if you have followed the call to serve God and you're wanting to serve anything else at the same time, you're messing yourself up. Amen. You can't do that. Amen. I turned around and looked at the video. Every time we turn on the air, let's look at the video, because sometimes it turns the video off, but it's still working. Amen. I think. Yeah. All right. I looked back there to see myself and I saw Sister Jennifer. Amen. I mean, that's the prettiest I've ever looked. Amen. But anyway, we need to be careful. And check out and see what our motives are while we're serving God. We may have come in with good intentions. We may have come in with good motives. We may have all sincerity in our hearts. But if we find ourselves drifting, the current can carry us into places where we shouldn't be. Amen? And if we're called to serve the Lord and we have yielded to that call, God only accepts our best effort. He wants us to let Him make us what He wants us to be. Otherwise, He wouldn't have called us. But when He calls us to His service to be what God would have us to be. That leaves no place for the devil. It leaves no place for worldliness. It leaves no place for half-hearted living for God. And it leaves, there is no provision in the Word of God for being a sinner and a saint at the same time. There are some who come and go, and there are several, and I could name a few of them, but I won't do so. But during the past several years of ministry, I have noticed there are some who come and go, and usually as they start going, after they have possibly been an example of righteousness or had testimonies or others see them representing the cause of God in one way or another, they decide that they would rather not be thought of as in leadership or as an example, because there is an agenda in the heart that says there are other things I also would like to do. It won't work. It goes into, especially when the pastor admonishes people. There have been some that have been admonished several times. The Word of God tells us after two or three admonishments to reject them. And it also talks about how God will destroy them. And that's what bothers me, because there are a lot of people that, and it says they're not fit for the kingdom of God, having started out to serve Him and then draw back. They're not fit for the kingdom of God. And if they're not fit for the kingdom of God, they're not fit to have fellowship with the people of God. If they're not fit for the kingdom of God, there's a lot of things that are being rejected that sometimes we accept, and then we may wonder why we can't make forward progress. Well, God, as you listen to Brother Glass's message, and you'll get a little idea. You don't have to find two or three places in the Bible for the Word of God to take effect. All you got to find is just one word, or maybe two or three words. Whatever God has put in His Word, He means it. Not just thinks He means it. But God is very serious about His Word. And when He gives instruction, especially when He gives it to His pastors, teachers, evangelists, His leaders of His kingdom work, regardless of what we look like or how familiar you may be with your pastor or whoever it is you're working with in the kingdom work, if they're called of God and watching for your soul, they have to answer to God. And so, being friends, sometimes we find ourselves wanting, like a parent, wanting to put up with some things. Look the other way. Be patient. In other words, we're trying to do it some other way than the way God requires, because we love these people. And so we need to learn to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, stern, strong, patient, firm. All this has to mix together somehow. Take a strong stand and yet keep the door open. Require what God requires and keep ourselves in a harmony position with God while we're requiring what He requires, and yet at the same time being obedient to God, knowing that His mercy endureth forever. And if you ever covet the position of being a pastor, you might want to take another look at it. Think about it a little bit more, because it's not what it always appears to be. It's not just sitting around and going to church once in a while and receiving an offering and going out to eat. It's more than that. Praise God. And it may be more difficult for your pastor to be saved than it will for you. That's why, Paul said, even the apostle talked about how, lest I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. See, he's responsible. He's responsible to the one that called him. Now, we people of the kingdom of God, we have one master. All these people that have their pastors serving them and they are bossing him around, they're all out of order. That is not God's order. God's order is an order that sometimes results in people looking at it and they become aware of it, and sometimes people will enter in and they may be wolves or snakes and they form these these things for some leader that is not really what he should be, but because of some things that are in the Word of God that he may have a little bit of understanding about, sets himself up to be the boss over some folks or a dynamic leader that will lead them into an area where maybe they could become something they shouldn't be. That's why we've had the Jim Jones cult and different things like that that have popped up from time to time, because there are people who have some understanding that you need one person that is following God. This is God's order. And this is God's election. This is God's way of doing things that's watching for your soul. But they're not really of God if they're appearing to watch for your soul and leading you into a pathway that's not according to God's will, and if they themselves are not living for God. So there are a lot of things. As a called saint of God, you've got your Word of God, you've got your Bible, you've got your prayer, you've got your God to protect you. And when something is not according to the will of God, you should be able to be faithful enough to God and be here serving God with your heart open to God only and not to anything else of this world, enough that you can pray your pastor or whoever's watching for you, pray him into order or pray him out of the way. Because God is able to remove anything that's not right. But he doesn't put it in your hands to do it. He puts it in his own hands. He is the one that sets us up and puts us down. But God's not going to call a bunch of you to be faithful and serve him and then allow somebody to come in here and abuse you and get away with it. Neither will he allow this leader that he's called, that's trying to be faithful and serve him, to be abused by any of you. Amen. We all work together. We're all called by the same Lord. But there's this idea that comes up sometimes. Well, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God. But there's some things in the world I also want. See, and what that is, it's an indication that something is not surrendered. Something is not as it should be. The only way we can serve God is to completely forsake the world. We live here, but with anything that we know of in our life that's trying to pull us aside, to in any way entice us toward any direction where there's some kind of competition between the work of God and your faithfulness to God, and anything else, once you commit yourself to God and His call, anything else that works against that can cause you to get in trouble. And if your pastor doesn't warn you, it can cause him to get in trouble. And if he warns some people, he even gets in trouble for obeying God. There have been many people that have risen up against leadership because the leadership was being used by a very strict God who requires straight talk. I'm not complaining. I like this job. But sometimes understanding needs to be brought out so that you understand it's not just one's higher than another, or one has a position, one doesn't have a position. Amen. Some of us are called to certain things, and all of us are called to serve the Lord. Everybody say, I'm called to serve the Lord. And the reason you're here is because you're called to serve the Lord. You were called to serve the Lord the very moment you arrived. When you were born, you were called to serve the Lord. Every human being on the face of the earth is called to serve the Lord. They don't all do it. Many are called, few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are the ones who say, yes, I will serve the Lord. But even amongst them, only a few of them are chosen, because many say, yes, I will serve the Lord, but they don't completely serve Him. And you either serve Him or you don't. Praise God. So, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that from now on, henceforth is the word used in the King James English, that ye henceforth, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And you may ask, what is this blindness of the heart? Well, the Word teaches us, where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. The things that you value, that's where your heart is, where your treasure is, where your heart is. The things that you want, what you dedicate yourself to, what you apply yourself to, that's where your heart is. And if we serve God, He wants us to serve Him with all our hearts. God looks on the heart. When the Word tells us, if you believe in your heart, it's not talking about just, yeah, I believe in my heart, just a few words to say. It means you're giving God your heart, your desires, your goals, your ambitions. Everything that you are is now His. You are surrendered. You're bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. Any plan you have has to include God's will. And anything you desire to do has to be according if it's approved of God. Otherwise, we're not serving Him with all our heart. And He knows it when we're not. He does look on the heart. And from the heart come all the issues of life. And if we're half-heartedly serving God, we're not serving God at all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And if we're serving Him with all of our heart, that means we're putting Him first. And thus, many blessings are added to our lives. A lot of things that we might have wanted to do, but we were being pulled because it was like competition between that and God. Now we find ourselves doing these things. I'm not talking about worldly sins. I'm just talking about things that we love to do. Now we find we're doing them with the blessings of God. Why? Because we put God first. Amen. We don't put our talents and our ambitions and our goals and our savings account and our houses and our cars and our jobs. None of that stands in our way. And yet, we drive nice cars, we have nice homes, we have money in the bank, we go see our friends. But God knows our heart. He is first in our lives, and everything we're doing is because we have sought Him first and His kingdom first. And all these things have been added unto us by God. Not just our desires. God has called us, and He wants us to be happy. Amen. Hallelujah. When we're called of God, we need to let God bless us instead of trying to keep ourselves doing what we always felt good about. Because that gets us in trouble. And then it gets the called pastor in trouble if he doesn't deal with it. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got a pastor that doesn't like to deal with things. I don't like strife. I don't like to have to... I don't like conflict. I just like peace. If I could have my way, if it weren't for the call of God, I'd go down to the Arkansas River, pull off my shoes, get me a little old tent, and go barefooted and dig a bunch of fishing worms, and I'd just fish every day. Now, that might not appeal to you, but that sounds like heaven to me. No cares. I've done it before, and I still got my poles back there, just in case. I just said the just in case, because God knows I'm not going to forsake Him over that. But there was a time when everything I longed for was the Arkansas River. and a catfish or a bass on the other end of that line, and me standing up there reeling it in, and that feeling, and out in the open, and just nothing else mattered except when my dad or some bill collector would show up and say, "You need to be working," but when they weren't there, nothing else mattered. Just out there, free. And for me, it's fishing, and I could just be a river rat and just love living. For others, it's other things. You know, whatever it is you like to do, that's what you like to do. And, you know, if I would walk away from God, and if God would let me without killing me, if you wanted to find me and try to witness to me and try to bring me back, you'd probably need to go to the Arkansas River at Lock and Dam number 3. Because there's a bunch of fish about right there. Right there. Ooh. Take over, Brother Bradley. I got to take. Those feelings come back. You know, regardless of how close we get to God, those things we've always enjoyed, those feelings are still there. Those memories are there. There are times when I can stand outdoors right here in Norwich, Connecticut, and when the air is a little bit cleaner than it is at other times, and I just stand there and I breathe and I have that feeling. It comes back. That joyous feeling of being free and just not having anything to worry about. It only lasts a moment. But it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. Sometimes to get that satisfaction that something in me misses once in a while, I'll pick up a rod and reel and just rub on it. Not that I'm longing to go back, but there's something about memories, good feelings. And there have been times when I have been in those areas where I used to fish, and I went fishing, but something has changed in my life. While I was there, I was longing to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. While I was there, I was looking for somebody to tell about Jesus. It wasn't like that years ago, but now something has changed. There was a time when I would go visit my mother years ago that she couldn't expect to see me very much because she knew as soon as I arrived, I'd be on my way to the river. And she'd been surprised a few times during the past few years. I arrive and I don't go fishing. And she's loving it. Sometimes just serving God causes your heart's desires to change.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Your values in life change. There are values in my life right now that I never would have planned for myself. But in following the call of God, He had a plan, and He put something in me that's better than what I used to enjoy the most. Praise God. And I'm just trying to keep this real general, because we're going to have some growth here. There's going to be some new people coming, and in order for that to happen, some of us are going to have to be quite strong in some areas where we need change. And I don't have anybody in mind that I want to talk to, although, like I said recently, because God put this on my heart several weeks ago, that we've got to change in order to grow. And He's going to grow us. We don't have to try to grow. He's going to grow this church. He's going to add to this number daily such as should be saved. And God, and we're not backslid, we're not sinners, we're not in trouble with God, but we have a call and a duty and responsibility. And whether you like it or not, if you're here, and if you ever made a step forward and you're trying to serve God, whether you like it or not, you're committed, you're an example of righteousness and holiness, and from this point forward, it's either go forward or get out of the way, because God is going to take this church somewhere. There is no place for backsliding, for entering into doubt and fear. It doesn't mix. For throwing in the towel and deciding to do something else for a while and running back and forth, there's no place for that. There's no place for sometimes in, sometimes out. Praise God. You see, if you start out to live for God and you follow the call, God takes us serious. And He wants us to be serious. If at any time we turn our back on God, He considers us His enemy. Turning your back on God could simply be just simply deciding to do something else when you could have done what you knew to be the will of God. God takes this serious. That's why sometimes we talk about church attendance a lot. Somebody will overhear us on the internet and say, I don't think you need to be so strong. There's no Bible, no place in the Bible says you have to go to church so much. Well, this is not a chat program. I'm not just talking about debating on the internet here. I'm talking about a call of God. And if you're not part of this church, if I'm not your pastor, you can just yeah, and talk all you want to and criticize. But there's some people here called of God, and we're doing exploits that most of the internet knows nothing about. There are reasons why God is raising up a small group of people and affecting millions of people around the world who wonder why can't they do what we're doing. There are big churches with pastors and congregations of 2,000 plus that envy us because they don't know how to do what we're doing and they want to so bad. Now, this is not to compare ourselves among ourselves and make ourselves feel like we're better than they are or we can do more than that. Actually, they have more money, they have more facilities and more abilities in most cases. They've got choirs and they've got great callings of God ministries amongst them. God is using these people. They're great people of God, but they don't understand why it is that some little group of people way off in the northeast in a basement with some chairs that are falling apart are able to do what we do when they can't figure out how in the world to do these things.
Holy Ghost.
Amen. Now, I could set my heart on trying to be like them. And they could set their heart on trying to be like us. And that would not be God's will. Not everybody could be the little David that went out and killed the giant. There was only one little David. There were a lot of people serving God, but there was only one that was called of God to do that work at that time. Praise God. There's only one Paul the Apostle. Nobody else can be Paul the Apostle. There's only one Judy Bradley. Nobody else can be that Judy Bradley. There are many Judy Bradleys, but not ever has there ever been one like this Judy Bradley. Nor will there ever be. There's no other Rick Alford that's going to be used of God like this one is going to be used of God. There's no other Carolyn Young that's going to be used of God like this one. You're the only one, Sister Carolyn. Nobody else has the call of God that you have on your life. Yes. Praise God. And to take it lightly or to walk away from it or just treat it like it's nothing is offensive to God. It's offensive to God. God becomes angry. And some of the very things that some of us have been guilty of through the years has caused God to destroy entire families in the Old Testament. He has actually killed families and wiped out every trace of them. He didn't even want them brought back. He wanted them stomped out completely. He didn't want any memory of that family ever to come up again other than if somebody disobeyed God and God dealt with them and destroyed them. Praise God. See, Achan in the Old Testament, I won't get into all the details, but he was a young man that was living in a time when in his lifetime he saw the miracles, the crossing of the Red Sea. He was just a young person, a baby maybe, but he was there to witness as a child the crossing on dry land of the Red Sea and the enemy being destroyed miraculously by the hand of God. And the people of God rejoicing on the other side, beating tambourines and singing songs and celebrating. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. He was a part of that group that stood and saw the salvation of God. He was a part of that crossing of the Jordan, or of the river that flooded, and part of seeing the walls of Jericho fall down. He ate manna and he enjoyed the miracles of God. But one day God gave instruction, when you go into this place and you defeat this city and you bring down the enemy, don't you touch anything that's accursed. Don't save anything. Leave it all alone and just worship God. And that one young man, with all these memories of the blessings of God, decided it wouldn't hurt just to keep a little bit of the enemy's stuff, just because it looks good, feels good, and it's something he wanted to have for himself. He hid it away, and that offended God. God had said, don't do it. And this one person was destroyed, not only him, but his entire family and every trace of anybody connected to him that was kin to him. They were destroyed by the God who loves people. But he takes this seriously. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be awful to have testified, to have praised God, to have this longing to go to heaven, to feel so good about serving God, to know that your life has been changed in a lot of areas, and find yourself at odds with God? My Lord, I don't want to be at odds with God. I don't want to be somewhere on the outside looking in saying, I wish I could have stuck with it. We talk about hell, we talk about fire and hell, we talk about the destruction, the eternal judgment and all that, but I can't think of anything worse than knowing you could have enjoyed the blessings of eternity with a God who cares so much and has prepared so many things for us to enjoy. We could have enjoyed that if we could have just held on a little while longer with faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not the way it is when we're serving Jesus. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, everybody say put off, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a lot of information right here. We're not what we used to be. We have been changed. We have been recreated. Thank you, Jesus. We're not what we were, and we can't be like we were anymore without taking what God has recreated and taking it out there and polluting it. God's not going to be pleased with that. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen. I don't come into the church services looking to see where the devil is. Do you? But every once in a while, through the years, I have noticed sometimes there'll be some things that will happen, and you know it's not of God. Amen. And sometimes we have to deal with these things. It's never the job of the congregation to take matters in your own hand and, you know, just go at it. There's a reason why there's a shepherd and sheep lesson all through the Word of God. When the wolf comes into the camp, it's not the sheep, although they need to do all they can to stay out of the way, but it's not their responsibility to destroy the wolf. Because if they start trying to destroy the wolf, they're going to get hurt. Can you imagine a bunch of little old sheep running up to a big bad wolf and saying, "Get out of here"? That wolf would tear them up. But the shepherd is there. The shepherd is there with a rod. He's there. He's there with whatever he needs to try to knock them off and get them out of the way. And you know, he needs to have preparation to do whatever it takes to take care of those sheep. That's the relationship that is pointed out over and over in the Bible. And it applies to a pastor and a congregation. So when the enemy comes in, amen, it's your place to do your best to not get too close to it. Stay out of the way and don't try to take matters in your own hand and destroy it. Leave it up to the place where the power is, where the weapons are. You just run and hide and let Jesus and His shepherd that He has appointed as an under-shepherd work this out. Because perhaps before it's all over, you'll find out it was a sheep in wolf's clothing, and maybe God's got something planned for that sheep, and He's going to reveal it, bring it out, and establish it as one of us. And, you know, if a bunch of us start pounding on it and beating on it and trying to tear it up, we might be messing up something that could have been very beautiful if you'd just left it alone. Amen. So be angry and sin not. And if somebody came in here and tried to destroy everything we're doing tonight, you'd get angry, wouldn't you? But now if you got angry and took a club and started beating on them, you might be getting out of order. Yeah. There's a point in there where you don't cross certain lines. And just like it's hard to explain faith, it's hard to explain touching God, it's hard to explain a lot of things, but it's good to know that you're secure in the house of God and God hasn't put it up on you to go fight all the battles. The battle is the Lord's and He has a plan and He knows how to upset the enemy. And we're not having any church trouble around here, so that's why I feel like talking about these things. Amen. But there are a lot of folks that are having trouble in their congregations because they're not aware of some of these things. Amen. Be ye angry and sin not. And I'm not going to go much longer. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now this is talking to church people. Let him that stole steal no more. This is addressed to the Ephesians church, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name people, stealing. This is not addressed to people unrepented out there in the world. This letter is not to them. This is people that have been saved, brought into the kingdom of God that have actually been stealing. Church people. And this all has to do with giving place to the devil. It's not that the devil's sitting over there, but if there's something in you that's trying to say, it's okay if I take this, or if it's okay if I don't do this, or if I do this, and in your heart you know you're taking something that doesn't belong to you, or you're not giving something that you know you should have given that God required and you held back. That's stealing too. A lot of things can be considered stealing in the kingdom of God. But when a child of God is in a church that's trying to follow Jesus in truth and go to heaven is stealing, there might be a reason to say there's a devil here that we don't need to give place to. I mean, I am not going to tempt you to be a bunch of thieves. I could take a large offering. And I could leave the offering basket next to the door with all the money in it. And say, everybody, I'll see you next service. Good night. And go that way and let all of you pass that way where all the money is. $100 bills stacked up in the basket. Most of you would not take any of it. But I'm not going to leave a basket full of $100 bills at the door. Because some of you might, for a moment, get weak. It's happened before. It can happen again. When I first came to Norwich, and I won't call any names, but there was a person that was responsible for seeing to it that the money was counted and that I was taken care of. It wasn't Brother Bradley. But this person was working as secretary and treasurer of the church at that time. A man that we had brought to God came for a visit. He had moved away, but he came in for a visit. He was still calling this his church, me his pastor. And he was making pretty fair income. And so he brought his tithing for the last month or two, and it was several hundred dollars. And we were struggling at the time, and he wrote out a check and put it in the offering basket and told me about writing the check out, and he said, this is your tithes. Well, I went on Monday to the secretary's house to pick up the tithing because I was going to take that several hundred dollars and use it to pay some bills and also to help catch up some money that I no longer had, that I'd sweated like everything, working on old pianos, trying to survive here, to pay myself back so I could get a pair of shoes or something. But I went to collect the money, and I was given $35. And I said, is this all that came in? And my church member said, yes. This is all that came in. Well, what am I supposed to do? Here I am, a servant of God, called of God, face to face with a church member who's lying to me, stealing from me. Kick her in the teeth, is that the answer? I was angry enough. Especially when I ask again, are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, Brother Rutledge, $35 is all that we collected during the offering. I ask, what about Brother Scott's tithes and offering? Well, we needed that for some other things. Who's we needed that for other things? You know what? According to the Word of God, when you give your tithes, 100% of it, as far as you're concerned, is given to the man of God watching for your soul. And what he does with it is answerable only to God and not to you. I know the IRS doesn't see it that way. But as far as God's concerned, I could take all the tithes as your pastor and buy nothing but bubble gum for the next year. And it would be fine with God. Praise God. God's good. Let me get through here. But I don't do that. I put it all right back in the work of God. But not because you made me, it's because my heart is in this thing. Thank you, Jesus. My heart is in this thing. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created, everybody say, is created. In righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, this church people, he's saying to the church people, stop telling lies. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, this isn't addressed to the world. This is addressed to Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost filled people. He's saying, stop stealing and stop lying. Because we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Let me say just a little bit more. I'm watching the clock and I'm going to be through in about 3 or 4 minutes. But let's go into chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of who? Followers of God. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You look at the life of Christ, study the life of Christ in the Gospels, and you can see the example of how God wants things to be. Amen. There are a lot of things that can go wrong in life, even if you are Jesus Christ. A lot of problems can come. A lot of difficulties. A lot of challenges. But the example of how he handled them, how he forgave, how he went about doing good and helping regardless, and doing all that God required. The Spirit of God had said certain things. There were a lot of things that Jesus fulfilled simply because it was in the Word of God that it would be fulfilled. Amen. Every word of God that is written is settled. And when the word of God had said in prophecy that there would be scars in his hands, that had to come true. When one would say, "What are those scars in your hands and feet?" Written hundreds of years before the crucifixion, these words were, and the answer would be, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Because every little jot, every little tittle of the Word of God, amen, you can see how Jesus went about. And there were times when he said, "Not yet. My time has not come yet." There were still some things that he had to do because the Word of God was true. And he's not going to do anything to leave any part of it unfulfilled. Let's thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, you know, in so many words, just look at Jesus, you know, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Don't ever start going around saying, "I wish I had what they have." You might as well go ahead and commit adultery if you're going to do that, because it's all part of the same kind of sin in God's eyes. Fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. In other words, which are not allowed if you're going to serve God. But rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's why if you're going to make a commitment to serve God, forsake the way you used to live. Thank you, Jesus. Regardless of how good it felt, how good it seemed, you're not your own and you're not the same anymore. And God has brought you to a place where He has changed you. And to go back to that is to take what God has changed and what God has cleansed and join it again to filthiness. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's what God spoke to my heart in the middle of the night about a month ago. And He said, you got a job to do now. When are you going to do it? And He said, do it now. And I said, no, I want to wait till I get back from the General Conference. And I got in trouble with God. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I ain't going to tell you, but I did what I had to do. And God's not through working this thing out. But somebody else is in trouble and they need a lot of prayer. But I don't know how to pray. How do you pray for disobedience? You know, unfit for the kingdom of God. But I pray anyhow because I don't know not to pray. Lord, bless my brother. Help my brother or sister, whoever it may be. Help them know what to do. But my call is, have nothing to do with them. Have no fellowship. Now, if I go out and try to have fellowship with somebody that's been rejected, that has been reproved, hardened in his neck and become unfit for the kingdom of God, and I try to fellowship anyhow, I'm going to be in trouble with God. So when you get in trouble with God and you go out and wonder why I won't come after you, I'm having an answer to God. I'm sorry. Praise God. Let's all stand. Just don't get in this kind of trouble. Don't be stealing. Don't be lying. Don't be committing adultery and fornication. Don't go back to the way it used to be. And don't be half-hearted. Let's get in this thing with all our hearts. Hallelujah. Because God will destroy the wicked. It is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God's pretty strict. God's pretty strict. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Now this is what I'm saying to all of you. If you've been kind of taking it easy and not paying attention, wake up. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. See then that you walk circumspectly. Hallelujah. That means as you go forward in the kingdom of God, consider what's going on around you. Consider how you're affecting others. Consider where you go, how you dress, how you talk, what you do, how you act. Consider all of that. It's not just going to church. It's living 24 hours a day in victory. Being an example for the cause of God, not just for the leadership of the local church. You be an example that God requires, you'll be a great leader in the church. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Walk considering the things around you, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's all come around the front. Don't try to go around making excuses for your friends and loved ones that don't want to live for God. Go ahead and see it like it is. They're lost and they're going to hell. And if they've rejected God, God's rejected them. That don't mean you have to be mean to them, but don't get yourself in the same position they're in. Don't make God reject you because you can't turn loose of them. God says, have no fellowship with them. Leave them alone. Don't even bring it up. Don't even talk about it. Praise God. Go on. Move on. Let God deal with it. Now, there are cults out there like the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, and I don't mind saying cult. I say that without feeling any hatred or bitterness, and I'm not fighting them. I just call it like it is. Cults. Who, if you cross them, they'll try to take the Word of God and excommunicate you and kick you out of the church, which it is not a church. It's a cult. And they will instruct their congregation, their members, not to have any dealings, not to have anything to do with them. Now, this is God's principle for His church. It's the operation of God. But these things are only done by God Himself. And when it's done according to God's will, in God's way, in the true church, it's not one of those things where people are being instructed to walk on the other side of the street and treat people cold and with a cold shoulder and be mean to them, seclude yourself and never speak to them. It's not that at all. God has a way of working with His church. And the reason He don't want you meddling with it and staying, you know, talking about it and trying to figure it all out is because you're going to get yourself in a mess. It's not because He wants you to hate them or have nothing to do with them. It's because He wants you to move forward in the kingdom and get yourself strong in the Lord and be here praising God when they finally get so hungry and thirsty they can't stand it. They're not going to stay out there too long if you get on fire for God, because the very thing that caused them not to like it here is the thing that's going to change now and bring them back. Because almost all those that leave complaining, our church is not what it ought to be. They don't worship like they ought to worship. The preacher preaches too long and too loud and he gets too strong. I don't like the way things are. They talk about that, but you let revival hit this place, it's not going to hit unless you're in one mind, one accord, in unity, following God and the will of God, staying with God, calling God, looking to God, not mentioning the things done in darkness and not trying to go and have fellowship with those that are disobedient to God. But you praise your God. And when they come in, it'll be because God brought them. And it won't be your tongue talking about them.